This is Nadia, a girl tasting whiskey, and you're listening to Bourbon Podcast.
Welcome to Bourbon Podcast. We have an entire crew here today. Joe is fresh from playing tennis. He still got his little white skirt on. Joe and Kyle are here. Kyle, man, you picked up a nice spot. Where the word? This has got like Asian. Is that words or letters? I don't know. It's just like marks.
They were speaking Asian. Don't offend my wife. Be careful.
Well, first and foremost, like, welcome back, right?
First of all, welcome back.
Welcome to the United States.
How do you, first of all, so we got a single malt whiskey.
And you're 24 hours.
Spelled without an EY, which means it's got to be like from somewhere else. What the hell is this thing? It's a single malt whiskey. We're going to do a proof positive. If you've listened, you probably know where I fall on single malts, but this one has.
Maybe we'll change your mind today.
I'm so excited.
What lettering is this? Is this, what is this?
Chinese.
So I'm drinking Chinese whiskey.
Well, careful politically. Taiwanese. Yeah.
Yes. Taiwanese.
Might we get in trouble?
Yeah.
I think
neither of us are politicians.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about
yeah.
It.
Well, yeah.
All right. Something bad just happened.
Rocket Man is going to launch a missile from North Korea after this.
It would never get here. His missiles suck.
Well, anyway. I mean, over Taiwan.
Oh. So this is, it's a cask strength. It is 117.2 proof. It's a 700 milliliter bottle, which tells me it's overseas. It's bottle number 32 of 141, but I can't pronounce what this is. What is this thing?
All right, this is Cavalon. So I just got back from the Philippines. Shout out to my lovely wife and her family. We had an amazing couple weeks.
Much better.
Before you say it, you know, my Anna was telling me, my wife, before about this, we should do like a proof positive, but just have the ladies do it with us in the other room.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And give them a bottle of whiskey and just let them say what the hell they want to say.
That'd be fun.
What do you think about that?
I think that would be really fun.
And we can give them something
that
really good.
My wife would tell you guys too much.
No, we would give them something really good.
Actually likes whiskey. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, right.
Okay, anyways, sorry. Okay. So, yeah, just got back from the Philippines.
Idea.
Shout out to everyone over there. We were in Manila most of the time. Let me first of all give you a little color because it's interesting.
Really?
So, there's almost no bourbon. There's like the core Jim Beam offering. What else did I see? Maybe Woodford, a couple places. Maybe one place at Buffalo Trace. But there, you know, almost no bourbon. Ton of whiskey, though. Ton of single malt. Ton of the blended whiskeys. Like, for instance, I bought on the way in at Duty Free in Manila, bought a Chevis finished in Japanese cask.
Yeah,
fantastic. But like, I'm sure you can get that product here. I haven't seen it. So really interesting product. You know, ton of the core Johnny Walker, Chevis, all the blended, and then, you know, a lot of single malt, but very limited. So I went in and out through Tokyo, and I expected, so on the way back yesterday, I was like, oh, I love like Yamazaki. I'm going to get some Japanese product. Almost nothing. Like nothing in duty free in Haneda Airport. So one of the two major airports in Tokyo. And I'm like, what in the world? So clearly, like the whiskey shortage is worldwide, man. I was blown away.
Was there Blanton's?
There was not Blanton's.
Yeah.
No bourbon product you would care about.
We're talking about single malt whiskey tonight.
I know.
Yeah, but isn't Blanton's, I mean, it's pretty prevalent in Japan, right?
It is.
I think there's. And I didn't spend, we spent a little bit of time, we went into Tokyo on the way and we had such a long layover. Yesterday, I was just in the airport. I just expected there to be some really interesting Japanese whiskey products available. There was almost nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like clearly the demand for the high-end product is also in world whiskey. Anyways, on this product, so went to this tiny little beach resort, a plane, a bus, a boat. It is its own island.
What's the island? I got to hear this.
Well, the area we were in is Palawan Island, which is a beautiful. There's a great rap song out right now about that. That's for a different podcast.
We could have that background.
This beach resort. Yeah, it's a great song. This beach resort called Coron, and then that's the area, and then we were at this little resort called Sunlight. But I walk into this room, we have lunch the first day, and I'm like, what's going on over there? And I walk in, and there's a wall of high-end, not American, but high-end world whiskeys, including a lot of this product. So I first became aware of this product, and Joe, I'll kick it to you for some of the history, but in like 2017, 2018, Whiskey of the Year was this. We are reviewing the Solist. So Solist is their cask strength program. Kevlon is a Taiwanese whiskey maker, as we've discussed. This is a single malt finished in an ex-bourbon cask. So cask previously held bourbon. And they, you know, looking at it a little bit today, and you can go through it, they've won Distiller of the Year several times at the International Wine and Spirits at San Francisco. Like, these guys are killing it. We don't talk about single malts much. We don't talk about world whiskey much, but these guys are world renowned for what they're doing.
How do you navigate when you go into a place, you're traveling overseas like this, and you see all of these world whiskeys? They're not American bourbons, obviously. How do you navigate that?
So I know this product. I know the distiller. I'm immediately drawn, being truthful, to the ex-bourbon cask. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I did like a 3-minute little bit of research, like, okay, is this a product that's worth getting? And the reviews were very good. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to buy this. And I probably should have gotten a couple others.
So do we know, like, so this is bourbon cask. Was it bourbon that had already aged?
Yeah.
In the cask? So do we know, like, where? Anything like that? Yeah.
I don't know who they
Joe,
you should go ahead.
I should have probably dug into like where the ex-bourbon cast partner is, but
I don't know.
It has to be from one of the major
I'm sure it's
distilleries. And I'm excited about this just because I think all of us need to be drinking more single malt whiskey. And some of those are Ben Balcones in I hope I pronounced that correctly, in Texas. Right. They do a single malt whiskey, and they have a single barrel program. And I saw one, and I bought it out of California. Like, I had to actually go to buy it from California to get it back to West Virginia. And it was a barrel they picked out. And you can imagine the heat conditions of Texas, right? And what it would do in terms of the yield. But it was like 139 proof single malt whiskey.
Holy
Balcones, like, that they picked a barrel out. And who knows how many bottles are coming off that, but I think we need to do more of this. And so I was excited about this. My older sister used to live in Taiwan just before COVID. And so all of my family went to go see her and hang out, you know, the 3 years they were there. And I didn't get a chance. Anna and I were going to go, and then COVID hit, and we just never got a chance to go. But Kevlon is like not just a Taiwanese whiskey. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not Japanese, Ben, which is really huge here. But they're also like, in terms of like outside of Scotland, they're one of the truly top producers of single malt whiskeys in the world.
Yep.
They're massive. And so here's what's kind of cool. According to what I've read about it, is that in 1959, it kind of started with mosquito repellent.
Wait a minute. What?
And what it was
Lee. Am I drinking mosquito repellent?
It's expensive.
Lee Tien Sai used to sell pesticides for a company. God. Okay. But he felt it was limiting. And at the time, he decided to move to beverages, so that in 1979, eventually, as he kind of started selling root beer through a company called King Car.
King Car,
All right. Which is the group that, you know, owns.
Well, that's the label, and it says King Car Distillery.
So the roots go back to 59, and it was because somebody didn't want, it was basically a guy's like, you know what, I don't want to sell insect repellent, I want to sell beverages. And what do you have? I mean, too bad he's not living today, right? 2005, Kevlon opened up. They're located in Yilan County and south of Taiwan's capital of Taipei. What's interesting is that Kevlon is the old name for Yilan County.
Oh, cool.
That's kind of really neat. So it actually is like the county's former name.
Yeah.
And so that's where the word, if you ever want to, Kevlon, the origination, the former name of the county. Ben, you'll appreciate this, because, and this is about our very similar to our cowboy bourbon, right? Our whiskey of the year. So that area of Taiwan has very high temperatures. In the summer, they average over 91.4 degrees Fahrenheit. They have sweltering humidity. And so as a result, they have lots of loss and very quick maturation of their whiskey. So this Cavalon whiskey, not only is it in ex-bourbon cask, but this maturation process, because of that location, cuts down by a third from 4 to 6 years versus 15 to 25 years for Scottish counterparts.
Yeah, you think about what a different climate than Scotland. Huge. Holy smokes.
And so it's producing whiskey that, you know, it takes years and years and years, you know, to kind of get to a level. And this was evidenced by, like, as Kyle had said, by shocking the world, you know, in 2010, when one of their products actually beat out three Scotch whiskeys and one English whiskey in a blind tasting in Leith, Scotland, for what was called a Burns Night.
That was what put them on the map, right? I mean, put them on the map. Worldwide, people were like, holy smokes. Like,
how can you produce this single malt whiskey out of this? And a lot of this is attributed, once again, similar to, like, why are you putting cowboy bourbon as the bourbon of the year, right? Well, pretty simple. Like, there's clear that their water and their climate are clearly contributing, all right, to this really, like, fast and unique maturation of whiskey. So they call it the same way, the Angel's Share. And it's why Cavalon, if you go out and try to buy it, is very expensive. It's because they lose so much of their whiskey in the, you know, during this kind of process.
To be fair, I paid for this in Philippine pesos. It was
1,200 million.
Yeah. It's about 55 to one, but I think it was like 200. It's between 200 and 250 bucks. Right. So this is not a cheap bottle. I mean, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And so I don't have all the specs on this particular, you know, on the ex-bourbon cask, but it's a fairly young whiskey, but still very expensive, but you have to just.
It looks very dark. And a lot of it's finished in an ex-bourbon cask, right?
So yeah. But some of that also, again, is going back to this quote, this Angel's Share, which is in the, you know, this the unique environment that this, you know, single malt whiskey is aging in Taiwan.
Come on, let's pour this.
Let me read you what this says, then I'm going to pop it. Hopefully we'll get a good pop. So it's non-chilled filtered.
That's even better.
And it says natural collar, and they spell it C-O-L-O-U-R, so you know it's fancy. So there's no additives. A hand-selected American ex-bourbon barrel delivers the sweet vanilla and fragrant coconut.
Now
that's not something you hear on in the description. Coconut character of the unique cask strength whiskey distilled, matured, and bottled in Taiwan.
Yeah, I do. That's interesting. I do think when I was trying to read a little bit ahead of this today, their whiskey in general is known for, like, tropical flavors.
Okay.
Yep.
Coconut. So, where's your glass, Joe?
It is known. And you're right. For those tropical, fruity and.
Yeah, fruity. Yeah.
Coconut flavors.
See if we can get a pop.
And while
it pops like an American bourbon. Good.
Now, you know, good. You had asked about the Solist, right?
So
yeah, and I did do some research on that just for shits and giggles to try to figure out why would they might name that, and I'm sure the story is going to call us and tell them I'm absolutely crazy. But so Solist in German,
right? I know. Right? Trying to figure out what bottle to buy.
It refers Solist in German for Solist, which refers to this as a single cask range, right? And I did go back and look at when they did their major expansion, they actually purchased a stills equipment from Germany.
Cool.
So I wonder if this is kind of a tribute to that first big expansion.
Yeah, that's interesting. I knew it was German. The German version of Solo.
So the color is, it's actually dark. Like, okay, so I want to drink it. It's not like yellow. It's an amber.
It's a pale, like a light amber or pale amber, you know, color.
I'm intrigued.
Right. So it's not, you know, in that regard, it's definitely much different than what you'd see
on the nose. I'm getting a little heat, like opening up my sinuses.
You know, I think it's interesting. Again, I can't wait. Is that, you know, we got a barrel strength here.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Of
it,
scotch.
It, if I was nosing this without knowing anything, I would definitely say bourbon versus a single malt. It does not, to me, nose like a single malt.
God, it doesn't taste like a single malt.
Well, the thing is you are getting those vanilla and honey, like almost like toasted flavor. Like
it said coconut. Now, it says coconut on the bottle, so I want to taste
on the flavors, but I do get kind of zesty, like fruity aromas a little bit on the nose. Oh, this is definitely single malt whiskey.
Yeah.
And Ben's gonna hate it, but I love it.
Yeah, it's
so good. It's so smooth.
Man, but it's like it is something different than a typical. There's very little peat, right? Mm-hmm. I'm getting almost no peat.
No.
I'm getting limited oak. It's muting the parts of single malt or the things about single malt that I struggle with a little bit. It's muting that and bringing out kind of the best characteristics.
I mean, I'm getting like crazy fruity flavors, like citrusy and jammy flavors, and almost like dates in there and things like that. What I think is really neat is that the heat really comes up, but doesn't like sock you in the face you know, for barrel strength. And then it has this really slow.
Gosh dang, that is good, man.
Yeah, it's got this very slow, like long finish.
Yeah.
Very pleasant, like in terms of that regard. I really, really like it. And if you want to look for it, Ben, look for the vanilla and honey in there.
Yeah, honey is a good call. There's that sweetness that's really pronounced, but is.
Well, I don't see it. So let me see if I taste it.
So, Ben, you don't get the coconut sugar syrup?
So. As the amateur.
Yeah, give it to us.
I don't taste the honey.
Chew on that a little bit though.
What the hell do you mean chew on it? I can't, it's
like putting your mouth in like a chewing gum and just really move it around your tongue and just
it tastes like gasoline.
Oh gosh.
What are we gonna do with them, Ben?
I don't know.
Come on, Kyle. This is so good.
So Kentucky, Texas, Tennessee, you guys are safe. Look.
I like it because normally you don't get like the peppery and oak. You know, in lots of your scotch, you really get like.
So what is the heat? I'm getting heat. Are you guys getting heat?
I mean, it's a 120 proof.
This is not an 80 proof. You know.
Oh, I know. I don't like 80 proof. I like cask strength, but so, there's something more about that. Like, I don't. Help me understand as the amateur. Help me.
Oh,
understand.
I don't know. It's a high proof.
Yeah.
Whiskey, but not in a bad way to me.
No, it's good. Like the heat comes up. Like hard, you know, really quick.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is it's not one of those where it kind of stings you. It kind of stays there and then it slowly comes down better.
Yeah, I agree.
And that to me, that's a sign of a real quality whiskey. That's what I'm looking for in my Four Roses, for instance.
Yeah.
As I want one of those that really come up fast and then come down real slow.
Yeah.
This is really a very nice, you know, whiskey. And we need to be drinking more.
Yeah, I'll repeat what I said a second ago, which is like to me the aspects of single malt that I struggle with a little bit, where it gets super peaty or like the real smokiness, that's very muted here. So that could, you know, if that's what you enjoy about single malt, this is probably not the one for you. To me, though, for someone who leans much more towards bourbon, this is fantastic because it like brings out the best parts of single malt to me. And having just come off drinking a bunch of mainly blended whiskeys, but not bourbon for the last couple of weeks, like this is, I love it.
Well, you have the color, right? First, you look at the color, like Ben said, oh, it's got kind of an amber. You're right.
The color is very bourbon, bourbon-esque.
But, you know, the more I swirl this thing around my glass, you've got the viscosity of a bourbon.
Yeah, you got the viscosity. Okay.
It is creamy and really heavy textured on here. And I think some of the things that we're looking for your bourbon drinkers that are transitioning here, you know, you or want to do like more single malt.
Not you, Ben. Other
the
people.
Vanilla, you know, the vanilla and honey flavors you're looking for, like on a toasted.
Yep.
Like people that like.
How do I get toasted
barrel bourbons? You know.
Yep.
This is, I mean, like if I put this up against like that, you know, Basil Hayden toasted. Or any of these other toasted, this is actually really good. And it's 100% malt. Remember the Egyptians, this is superior malt to corn, Mr.
What happened to them?
It's a superior, it's a superior grain. And, you know, we're used to corn because this is predominant in, you know, thanks to the Native Americans here in this country. But this is really terrific. This is not even Japanese. This is this is Taiwanese. Right.
So the Taiwanese, I've had the Japanese single malt whiskeys.
Yes.
Which is, it's rice based. Am I wrong?
No. 100% malt. Corn? Yeah. Yamazaki.
Yeah.
All right. So I enjoyed those. So why? Lower proof?
I think this is really good because it's like higher proof and it has the color and has some of those flavors that, you know, from that ex bourbon. I think the ex bourbon cask care finish is really outstanding. Fantastic. It's outstanding. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'd go buy this one.
All right, guys. I'm an amateur and I'm just, I think sophisticated whiskey drinkers would enjoy this. Obviously, you guys do. What I'm tasting is gasoline.
Really? Like,
I think if you finish gasoline in an ex bourbon cask, this is exactly what it was like. And I'm sorry. I wanted to like it. I really tried to, but it's a single malt thing for me. It's nothing against Cavalon. I'm not taking on Taiwan. I'm not taking on any. I'm just saying, I think for novice drinkers,
it's not going to go.
This is not.
Yeah, I, that's.
But
yeah.
No, hold up, Ben. Kyle, you want to give your thoughts or I'll get my thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. My expectations have been exceeded in the sense that I'm not a huge single malt guy. I do a little better with blended, you know, kind of world whiskeys. For this to be a single malt finished in, you know, ex-bourbon, a bourbon cask that's been previously filled with bourbon, I think it's fantastic. Love it. I'm excited about it. This is different for most people. You know, we talk about value. Would I pay $200 again for this? I would. Most people who are listening are not going to probably care, but also are not going to be able to find it. This isn't widely distributed. Yeah. You can find Cavalon in the U.S. and you can find this.
You can.
The Solus. Yeah, yeah. But you're going to have to order from somebody. Yeah. You're not going to walk into your local store and find this. I do think, though, if you were interested in whiskeys outside of the core U.S. products, and if you've explored or maybe you've had a Japanese, you've had a Yamazaki or a Suntory product, the Hibiki, like, should you try a Cavalon? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's the thing. And we're talking specifically about the Soloist ex bourbon cask, right? And so what makes this very unusual is that, well, number one, they've, you know, finished the bourbons here they finished it in ex-bourbon cask. They obviously came from the United States. Number two, this was, I think, all like Ben, is the climate and the Cavalon story and the 91 plus degrees on average, you know, summer and aging single malt whiskey. And then you throw that into like an ex-bourbon cask and you see like, you know, what that's going to produce, quote, this angel's share, which is a very limited amount because there's so much evaporation. And then you bottle it non-chill filtered, okay?
Yeah.
Straight out of the barrel. And then at barrel proof, and you put it into a bottle. And so what it tells me is that, like, for the Scotch drinkers out there and the single malt whiskey enthusiasts out there, like, I wish I would put a two thumbs up for them because I would just say this is very unusual because, like, if you want to taste vanilla and oak, you get vanilla and oak, you know, like those bourbon profiles. If you want to taste all those fruity and zesty flavors, you can get it in there. If you want to get the coconut out of this, right, which is unique to that region, you can definitely get that too. And so, I don't know what this is running in the U.S., but I would say, like,
I think it's like 300.
If you're curious about it, I mean, this is clearly,
if you're a single malt fan or you've really enjoyed other, you know, Japanese whiskeys, I'd say do it. If you're,
absolutely.
So my mom say, if you don't have something, I say, don't say anything. Here's what I will tell you of all the single malts. I mean, and guys, I mean, let's be honest. There have been single malts that I have tried that I have refused to say anything because they were so damn bad. Right.
Yeah.
And
I remember.
And it's not because this is nothing on
Do we publish
the people who are making it?
Did we actually publish that? Did we put that on?
There was, folks,
you didn't.
There was one that was so bad that I was so negative, I refused to publish it. Like, maybe one day I will. But
we like that, Kyle.
So, but I think that of all the single malts I've had, with the exception of, you mentioned one of the Japanese, not Centauri, but
Yamazaki.
Yamazaki.
Or Hibiki.
Hibiki. Yeah. I had Hibiki. I liked it. It was very mild.
Hakushu.
So what the hell are you saying?
Hakushu.
I don't know what you, bless you. So so this one is,
can't take him
to me, but I do not get coconut. I don't get any of that stuff. So I think you have to have a more sophisticated palate.
Well, I don't know, but it's sophisticated. Joe, you have a history with single malt. I really don't, but I have a broader history with blended whiskeys and some single malt than you do. And I think, if you are bourbon and bourbon only, are we advocating you go buy this bottle? Absolutely not. But if you're interested or have an affinity for single malts or kind of world whiskeys, should you have a Cavillon product? And is this a good place to start with their product? Yes. And by the way, they offer a bourbon cask finished non-barrel strength, which is a little cheaper product. So I don't know. Try that.
Who would love this? Gavin Lindy, Rolex Whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he loves that. He loves the international.
But does he actually drink anything?
Or he does.
I got the best bottle.
Hey, listen.
I don't know if this is expensive enough.
I can't believe
Gavin,
man.
No, he's like, I think Gavin would really enjoy. I think people that, because he's from South Africa, right? I mean, so he's got.
That's true.
So in full disclosure, I've never tried scotch. I have never had a glass of scotch in my entire life.
Next proof positive.
Well, I'm probably going to hate it. I think it may be one of those things that you've got to have acquired taste. I am an amateur. So I think if you've tried a lot of whiskey and a lot of bourbon, don't listen to me because
I think I figured that out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think a lot of people, in my defense, I think a lot of the amateurs will come in and they taste it and they're going to compare it to everything. They're comparing us to Russell's.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges.
It's so different. And I'm not at the point in my whiskey journey that I can appreciate.
You know, we need to do this.
This is an exclusive.
That's the most politically correct thing I've ever said.
Look, this is an exclusive whiskey.
Yeah,
international whiskey.
Right.
It is so good. And it has, thank you, Kyle, for bringing it tonight. Yeah. And I would just say that for those that are curious and that want a little bit of a twist on the, you're a barrel proof person because there's a lot of barrel proof drinkers out there and barrel strength. And you are, you want a little bit of a slant on where whiskey, how it might be impacted by ex bourbon barrels under hot, climate. This is your whiskey.
Well,
it really is. Cause I've never had anything quite like it.
No. And the Garrison Brothers comp you made is perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like super hot climate, faster aging.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do with this guy?
Yeah.
Over here? I'm not going to say his name. No, but we need to do like a Johnny Walker Blue.
Yeah. All right.
Right?
I'll bring it. Super
high-end blended whiskey. Outside of the United States, if you serve Johnny Walker Blue, people think you're the baller.
But I'm going to look like a fool because I'm probably not going to like it.
That's kind of why I want to do it. So that's you figured me out. That's the point. But actually, I think it would be interesting because that's a blended whiskey. So it's a little different than single malt. It's not a bourbon, but it's good.
Maybe I could bring they don't release it anymore, but I have like a Johnny Walker 15. I have the blue. I have the gold.
I drink a ton of gold
and
a ton of double black.
And so maybe what I can do is just, I can bring all four of those. Why don't we do like a little?
Let me try one of them.
No,
blue, bring the blue. Blue is the high end.
We got to record this though.
I
want Ben on the record.
I'll be honest about it. And all right. So folks, so we got four thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then we got the novice. But listen, this is not anything against Cavillon. So I think if you've got more experience than a couple of years, which is all I've got. I mean, let's be honest. Although in high school I did drink a bottle of my dad's Wild Turkey and then I filled it up with iced tea so it wouldn't catch me. Other than that, I have no experience. So I think if you're sophisticated, if you've got a little experience under your belt, you're probably going to like this. If you're a novice like me, you're going to hate it. I mean, I'm just being completely honest. But I also did not like almost every, and not almost, actually every single malt whiskey that I've tried. And that's not a reflection on the people that are making it. No disrespect to you.
It's an acquired taste.
It's not you with me, right? Every girl in high school that broke up with me, it's not you, it's me. That's what I'm saying. It's not you, it's me. I am a novice and I will shut up.
Okay.
You guys take it from here.
No, it's okay. Kyle, thank you, because this is really good.
Kyle, thank you.
And I wouldn't, for nothing. I wouldn't.
I love you anyway.
I love you too.
You know, like,
he paid $22 million in Filipino money.
Well, I would, exactly. I mean, I probably wouldn't be the one that'd be like, oh God, I really need to buy that. But like, I just probably wouldn't do it, you know. And the fact that you just kind of did it, and then we get a chance to like have you back to the States and then pop it open, it's a treat. I mean, it's really good. It kind of tells you
I'm not a nice person. I'm sorry.
It just tells you what the possibilities are, you know, with single malt. Like, this is definitely something different than anything I've ever tasted.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say, no, this has been fun despite you being here, Ben. as I said a minute ago, it exceeded my expectations, because I'm not a huge single malt guy at all. So that's where I think this is interesting, so is I drink almost no single malt. I drink some blended whiskey occasionally. To me, this is like taking single malt and bringing out the best parts of it as a bourbon drinker.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a sample of this. I'm going to put it in my little bottle and I'm going to save it for like 5 years, and I'm going to come back. And when I come back, maybe I'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's not that, you just have to understand that my viewpoint is different than yours.
Yeah, we're not criticizing you.
But I feel bad.
Here's what's going to happen.
Like, if our views in Taiwan go up, and like I start getting hate mail and like all these these funny looking letters, whatever that is, Taiwanese, like, I'm going to feel guilty, because I'm not crapping on this company. It's just me and my very uneducated, inexperienced.
You're giving Rocket Man a reason to like send a nuke over Taiwan there, buddy.
I think they're going to be happy. Yeah. They're going to be like, great. You dumb Americans don't need to buy up our whiskey. Leave it for us.
But here's the thing, Ben. I think what Kyle's going to do is, it's going to take a while to work through that bottle, is that maybe 6 months or a year from now, we should revisit.
I agree.
We'll do it at a tail end of another proof positive or one of our segments. And let's go back to it.
So let's come back. Next time we do a single malt, let's bring that one and let me compare it, because the last single malt, and this is no lie, folks, I spat it out. Like, I hated it so badly, I could not drink it.
I'll
spit
bring
it out,
the 18.
And
the,
it was absolutely horrid.
I think we do that. All right. We're going to do Johnny Walker Blue with you.
I've got it.
Oh, God.
I got plenty of them.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right,
people.
Sorry, we apologize for this.
No apologies. Like, this is classic.
No, not for this whiskey.
Hey Ben, you better publish this. That's what I want to know. Because
it's going up in 2 weeks.
I think the one we did before was amazing. I don't know what happened to that.
It was terrible because it was awful.
Because you were,
and I was honest about it.
Okay.
Now here's the other good thing.
Welcome to 2024.
So anybody that's still listening, like the one of you that's still listening, let me say this: we get no money from any distillery. We have had distilleries reach out to us,
right?
And offer to advertise, want to pay us. They send us whatever. Kyle is like the president of an engine company. He doesn't need your money. Joe is when the prices are low.
Yeah,
Joe's an investment banker. I'm a lawyer. We're not doing this because we're trying to get paid. And you know, somebody reached out when we did the Garrison Brothers and we named it Whiskey of the Year. How much did you get paid for that?
$0.
$0. Garrison Brothers with Whiskey of the Year because they earned. And first of all, they got a great story, which you know that influences a lot, but. We got $0. I get nothing. We get nothing. I refuse to take ads on the podcast. Do you know how easy it is? I mean, there are crappy podcasts out there that get ads and they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I refuse to do ads. Right? So when you get a review from us, it's 100%
You couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And because I'm not getting paid, well, we're not getting paid from by anybody.
Our reviews are more than just what are we tasting. The story matters, right?
Yeah. It does matter.
It matters a lot. That's why Cavalon stories. So
let's be honest.
But with Cowboy Bourbon, just back up on the story. It was a complete package.
It was.
The story, the flavor, the bourbon, the flavors, everything.
Everything about it.
And to me, it made for Bourbon of the Year.
Folks, I'm pouring a little bit more of this while these two.
It's so good. Me too. All right. Please. Yeah. While Ben is
while
like
they're drinking this,
disposing of his, I would love. Thank you, Kyle, for bringing
while
this.
While they're drinking this,
I mean, he did like 5,000 miles, man.
That is true.
What is it?
5,000 miles.
You brought this halfway around the world. Literally halfway around the world.
Well, it's not like you walked. I mean, you put it in your luggage.
Yeah, but who knows?
Nonetheless,
I mean, they could have stole it from his luggage. I mean,
no, of course they didn't steal it.
All right, wrap it up.
I think it's time for our host to wrap up this wonderful segment of Cap. Of
First
Cavalon.
Of all, Kyle, thank you for bringing it. And I'm sorry that I'm too amateurish to appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for doing the research.
Let me just say that I want our listeners to actually send Ben messages about what they think about this episode and not just the episode, but also if you get a chance to try this. I mean, honestly, give this one a go because you think Scotch whiskey, it's Scotland. If you think Japanese whiskey, Yamazaki, Hakushu, and some of the others,
bless you,
it is Japan. But there is this major, major influencer in the single malt industry, and it is Cavalon out of just south of Taipei in Taiwan. And it's really important because of basically the qualities in their whiskey and what distinguishes them from other single malts around the world, including Scotch whiskey. I'll just leave it there.
All right. Hey, we appreciate it. Give us, actually, don't leave us a review.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Let's get